Good morning and welcome to the 7 a.m. Eastern Time Overeaters Anonymous, A Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Amy G. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Maryland. Today's date is Tuesday, February 24, 2026, and today we are reading in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we are on page 20, the sixth paragraph, reading, then we have a certain hard drinker through one paragraph ending in and may need medical attention, commenting on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are, and thank you to Team Tuesday for this month of February, Sally A., Ken W. H., Elizabeth D., on the 12 steps, Chris W., 12 traditions, Alicia A., our newcomer greeter, Karen W., and our host for the second awesome unrecorded hour, Betsy H. The reference numbers for yesterday, Monday, February 23rd, 7 a.m., 23,230. That's 23230. And for the 10 a.m. meeting yesterday, 23,231. That's 23231. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who through shared experience, strength, and hope are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask for Chris W. to read the 12 steps. Please go ahead, Chris.
Good morning, Chris W. from Nashville, Tennessee. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continue to take personal inventory, and when we are wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me serve this month.
Thank you. Okay, I'm now going to ask Alicia A. to read the 12 traditions. Please go ahead, Alicia.
Good morning, Alicia A., compulsive overeater. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as we may express Him, in our group's conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all of these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And I pass.
Thank you, Alicia. Okie dokie, how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. If you go over, you'll hear me say time. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only, please. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. Again, this meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute your phone. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone again. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We are in the chapter, There is a Solution, and we are on page 20, down at the bottom of the page, the 6th paragraph. And I'm going to ask Sally A. to get us started. Please go ahead, Sally. Sally, press star 1 to unmute. Sally, you're muted. Sally, we can't hear you. Sally, I think you muted yourself and you think you're talking, but unmuted, but you're not. Unless I can't be heard.
We can
Amy,
hear
we can
you.
Hear
you can be heard.
You can be heard, fine. You are. You are heard.
Okay. Thank you very much. Okay. I don't know what to tell you, Sally. I think, all right, looks like she is going to get back on in a second here. Maybe some sort of technical difficulty. Hold one sec. Sally, we lost you completely. Ken? Ken WH, we may be calling you up, my friend. I don't see where Sally went. So, Ken, can you come in here in the clutch and share on what was read?
Can you hear me?
Oh, wait, there you are, Sally.
Okay.
Wow.
Good.
crazy. Good morning, everyone. I'm so sorry. My phone was saying I was unmuted, but I was muted, apparently. Okay, let's get going. So I'm Sally A. From New York and recovered. And here we go. We are again on the bottom of 20. Then we have a certain type of hard drinker. He may have the habit badly enough to gradually impair him physically and mentally. It may cause him to die a few years before his time. If a sufficiently strong reason, ill health, falling in love, change of environment, or the warning of a doctor becomes operative, this man can also stop or moderate, although he may find it difficult and troublesome and may even need medical attention. So I don't think I've ever been a hard drinker, but I do think that there are hard drinkers among us who find it difficult to stop or moderate. I do believe that, and you're welcome to be here, but I also know that while this is a simple program, it's not easy. And those of us who are the real compulsive overeaters, we really don't have anywhere else to go. There's no other choices for us. That's been my experience with working with others and for myself. The hard drinker is someone who can, with a lot of support from others, can stop, or can modify what they're doing. But for the real alcoholic, for the real food addict, it is required that we have a spiritual intervention from our higher power. What they're saying here to me is, I can't help but use my sisters as an example of this. When Thanksgiving comes, I see, you know, the joy of overeating that they experience, and I join them in, and the laughter around all the different desserts, and all of us laughing about, let's have a little of this and a little of that, and me already planning in my mind, when can I come here and have all of this that's left over? When would it be appropriate? When will it look normal? Because I never was a normal eater. And so when I read this sentence, that, yeah, I'm sure that this is true, that some have really suffered and have even may have had their lives cut short. But I know that for myself, if a sufficiently strong reason, ill health, falling in love, change of environment, or the warning of a doctor becomes operative, this man can also stop or moderate. That's not true for me. I know that I had to reach a level of illness in my own health before I had doctors saying, if you don't do this, Sally, you are going to die. You must have this surgery. And I did have that bypass surgery years ago, which didn't work for me, by the way, you guys. I had the surgery. It was required from five different doctors telling me, you have to do this for your knees. Otherwise, there were so many things going on, Barrett's syndrome. There were so many ills, and I had all these warnings of doctors, and yet I still had to run with my tail tucked between my legs back to OA, because this for me was the only thing that would work. And this is, I think, for a lot of people, the truth that are on this meeting today. And if you are like me and you are a newcomer, I just want to say welcome home. This is, while you hear people talking about and reading about all these different scenarios, the most important thing you need to hear today is that we don't have a choice. We have to put down certain foods that are causing us to die, that will lead us to death. We have to take this very seriously, and we have to take the hand of someone who's willing to walk us through and teach us what we need to do. And this book is our textbook. Thank you so much. This book is our textbook. And so I strongly encourage you to stay with us and listen and grow. Thanks so much for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Sally A., for getting us started. Okay, so let's keep things going. We'd love to hear from folks who would like to share on what was read. But a friendly reminder, if you've shared in the last few days, namely Monday or Friday, on any of the Vision for You meetings, please step aside so others can share their experience, strength, and hope. We need your first name and the initial of your last name, please, and the state you're in. Please go ahead.
Nicole J.
Lisa B. Lisa.
Nikia.
Ken W.H.
Ken.
Lisa C.
Lisa C. Okay.
Wajia E. in Maryland.
Yeah. E. Anyone else? Okay. Great lineup here. Nicole J., Lisa B., Nick F., Ken W.H., Lisa C., and Wajia E. All right, Nicole, it's your turn. Grab the mic. Let's go. Nicole, press star 1 to unmute.
Can you hear me?
I can.
Can I? Okay. Well, that was weird. Anyway, I'm so grateful to be here, and I'm really grateful to Sally for that lead. And, you know, when we were talking yesterday about the moderate drinker and then today with the hard drinker, I know people that fit into those categories. I have good friends who are hard users, and they can really go for it when they want to. And I've tried in the past to be like them and to eat with them. The thing that I noticed after a while was they're in charge of when they start and they're in charge of when they stop. Or somebody else is in charge of when they start and somebody else is in charge of when they stop. My sister-in-law, her trainer said, no more eating any nuts or nut butters. And she's like, okay, I'm not ever in charge of when I stop when I'm in the disease. And I'm also not in charge of when I start. And that was something I had to, it took me a long time to learn that. It took a lot of eating. It took me relapsing a lot to understand. And, you know, I still today have, my body still bears a lot of the results, a lot of the marks of my compulsive overeating, like most of ours do. There are some things that will probably never go away. A lot of stuff's better, but not everything is. And I accept that today because I'm not a hard eater. I'm a compulsive overeater. When I get started, I can't stop. And I was telling a sponsor yesterday that there are times when I'm in recovery long enough, when I'm recovered, I can look like a moderate eater. You know, people can say to me, how do you have so much self-control? I'm not as good as you, blah, blah, blah. We've all heard it. And it's not that. And in the past, when I've had abstinence, I've gotten into thinking that, yeah, wow, look at me. I'm doing this, aren't I? And then we all know where it ends from there. For today, I had to go through, I'm a very stubborn person, I had to go through long periods of proving to myself just what kind of eater I was. And it was only a few years ago when I finally read this big book, really read it with a sponsor and really worked the steps, that I read these descriptions. And I thought, I don't know if I was ever a hard or a moderate eater. I don't know. But I do know that I am not one now and that I need a program of action. However, I also don't believe that it's the actions that are making me recover. I don't know how it works. But I believe that it is God that causes me to be recovered as I cooperate and I do the things that I'm told to do, putting my faith in Him that He will heal me and that He will make me well and that I will stay well as long as I work this program and put my confidence and my faith in Him and make my relationship with Him the most important thing. I'm not always there, but I believe that that's my goal. So thanks for letting me share that.
Oh, Jay, can I get your state, please? I missed it, but I didn't hear it.
Virginia.
All right,
can you hear
Lisa
me?
B, you're up. I can. Thank you so much. All right, Lisa B, you're up.
Good morning. My name is Lisa B., recovered compulsive overeater from Michigan. Thank you for letting me share. When I read this, the part that stuck out to me was when it says, you may have the habit badly enough to gradually impair him physically and mentally. And that was me, because I used a lot of other substances to deal with feelings. I learned the food a long time ago with my mother, but it didn't catch up with me until about 10 years ago when, you know, I was no longer the athlete. I didn't have the high metabolism, so I could get away with it, eating whatever I wanted, and had been quite proud of that, of course. But gradually it became more and more of a problem as I put these other substances down. And then came the realization that I had no power over it. And I had tried OA before. Well, not really tried it. I had gone there. I hadn't really given it a fair try or anything like that. I think I went to one meeting or something and thought, yeah, that's not for me. I'm not one of them. But when a friend of mine introduced me to Vision, I was very reluctant at first and tried to identify out left and right. Couldn't relate to the big book about food. But gradually, over time, and stubbornness and things like that, and my awesome sponsors have been so helpful to me in carrying the message to me so that I could finally get it and stay here and do what's suggested. And I'm grateful for that. Vision has been awesome in my recovery from everything. I don't know. I'm just rambling on. So thank you for letting me share. I'll pass.
Lisa B. from Michigan. Okay, Nick F., you're up. Please go ahead.
Good morning, family. Can I be heard?
Oh, I can hear you. Yes, please go ahead.
All right. Good morning. I'm Nikki F. in Tennessee. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. All of a sudden, I forgot what I wanted to share, but it's easy. I could just look at the text. What it said may cause him to die a few years before his time. I wanted to die. I begged God to let me die my entire life. I remember at 17, you know, I had a brother that passed away. And I was mad at God because my brother was a preacher and he was a model and he already had a job and was going to college. And I remember being in the hospital room. This is the selfishness of a compulsive overeater, even at 17. I remember being at his hospital bedside and I had to leave the room. And I walked around the back corridor of the hospital, and I said, God, how dare you let him die? And he wants to be here. And I've been asking to die every day. And I continued to want to die until 2021 when I had my first taste of abstinence. And suicidal ideation left me. One day I was there, and in the next moment, I was up, and I was over 500 pounds, but I was up, and I would put my flip-flops on, and I would run around with my kids, and I was wanting my kids again, and I was wanting life, and I had never, ever wanted to be alive until I got abstinent. And this disease, it took everything from me. I was 33 years old, and I had no sex drive, no desire. I didn't like me. I didn't like you. I didn't like my kids. I didn't like anything. That's the death and the insanity of compulsive overeating for this compulsive overeater, you know. And I got to be honest, you know, even though I was a compulsive overeater to that degree, you know, I was in Al-Anon. I was in a lot of other programs. And last year in my relapse, so I got abstinent. I worked the 12 steps. I did this deal, lost 350 pounds. But last 2025, I was in relapse. And, you know, I would like to say it's the weight that I gained back, about 100 pounds, that made me want to come back. But this is what I think transcends any body size, is the pain in my brain. Whether we come in here, whether I came in here dragging my belly or dragging my bones, it's the inescapable pain in my brain that no matter what happens, money, love, you know, any other thing, that pain in my brain, it won't stop until I do. And the only way I found to be able to stop is to get to God. You give me permission to get to God. You know, I was on about my fifth program. I say I'm about the queen of recovery because I was in all these different programs, and God had stopped me in my relapse. And he said, Nick, how many programs you going to work before you work the 12th step with me? Before you come to me, you're supposed to wake up to me, but you keep joining program after program after program, and you're not getting to me. But today I got God. I don't need 10 programs. I don't need 15 programs. I'm a compulsive overeater. Then and a couple other meetings, they doing it for me, but they're all Overeaters Anonymous today. I'm coming here. I also go to AA meetings, but, you know, for me, this food deal is deadly. It will kick my, you know what, I guess right there with our past. Thank you, Amy, for your service, and to Sally for taking the lead.
F from Tennessee. All right, Ken W.H., you're up. And just a friendly reminder for those who came in late, we're on page 20, the sixth paragraph down at the bottom of the page, last paragraph on the page. All right, Ken, you're up.
Thank you, Amy. Excuse me. This is Ken W.H., recovered compulsive overeater from North Carolina. There are a couple key words in here that just jump out for me. Habit and reason. I used to smoke a long time ago, and I had the habit of smoking. And there became sufficient reason for me to stop. It hurt, and I was hurting myself, and I was able to let it go, and I haven't smoked for 40 years, over 40 years. That was a habit. That was something that I could control, and for a good reason, I quit. Compulsive overeating for me is not a habit. It's a disease. And as a result, I don't have any control over it unless I follow certain procedures. I don't have the control. God does. And there are certain things I have needed to do to arrest this disease and to be in a state of abstinent recovery. I had to surrender. That's what needed to become operative, not some strong reason, because my reason doesn't have anything to do with the disease. It wasn't strong reason, it was strong surrender. And that's the place I had to get to. I had to realize that with all the reasoning and thinking and using this grand intelligence that I thought I had, wasn't going to work. I had to surrender completely to my powerlessness. And that changed everything. And the habit, the use of the word habit here is critical. It's a critical understanding of the difference between a hard eater and myself. And a habit is not a disease. And that's really, really important. And the doctor doctor's opinion makes that clear. My habit didn't have the allergy. I didn't have that allergy or compulsion. I had the habit. My disease of overeating is an issue of allergy and compulsion, twists of the mind. So I'm really grateful for this reading. It just fits really, really well. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks, Amy. Have a good day.
Thanks so much, Ken W.H. from North Carolina. Lisa C., you are up, followed by Wajia. Go ahead, Lisa.
Hi, good morning. This is Lisa C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from New Jersey. Thank you so much, all you beautiful people, with your amazing, incredible experience, strength, and hope that you so willingly and openly and honestly share, because I need to hear it every day, and I need to really hear it because, you know, I find that I can put on my headphones and be tuned in while, you know, doing housework or getting ready for the day, and I'm not always listening with, like, that fullness, and I'm human. But when I really am like, this is my medicine, I need to hear every word, and it really just fills me and connects me to my higher power. So I'm just so grateful. This paragraph is really relevant to me right now because I've been spending some more time with a few friends of mine who live very close by, and our kids are doing a project together. So we've been all getting together a lot, and it's, you know, I'm watching them and I'm seeing how they eat. And, you know, not only am I not like able to eat like them, but I'm not able to exist like them. You know, like the way that they can live a secular life. And this is something that has bothered me my entire life, because I think from a very young age, I was very drawn to spirituality. I was raised in a home where spirituality was prized, where it was valued, where it was encouraged, and sometimes even imposed upon me, which sometimes pushed me away. But it was expected that I would have a personal and intimate relationship with a higher power. And I didn't always like it. You know, I had a lot of friends growing up who didn't have that imposition placed on them, or they had a sort of variety of being religious that did not ask them to be spiritual, whereas my mom was always pushing the spiritual above all else. And I think her heart was in the right place, but it always made me feel apart from. And so when I sit among, you know, these eaters, I know a lot of people who overeat. I know a lot of people who probably even have this disease perhaps, but you know, they have not yet heard the warning of a doctor, or they've taken the steps their doctors have told them, and when things don't go well, they don't think there's anything else they can do, and they don't consider a 12-step program as something they can do, and maybe that will change. But the point I'm trying to get at is that the fact that I need the spiritual solution also is a thing that comes up for me now, is that I can sit among people and they can gossip, or they can, you know, be honest in ways that I have to turn over to my higher power, because what looks like people just venting or commiserating or even just talking, saying the truth about other people that they know, I don't know. I can't even take a bite of that. I have to be so connected to God in order to function in any kind of way that is worth living. And I have to continuously accept that, because the disease will creep in some quiet, secret way and try to tell me that I don't need to do it today. I don't need to pray as long today, or like, oh, you already did those prayers, you can now get up, you know, from the floor and start the day. And it's like, I have to keep seeking the voice of God, which is always a timeless voice. It's always like, oh gosh, an hour has passed. Who knew? Or, oh, I have 5 minutes in the car by myself. That's prayer time. There's always a way to seek God when I'm seeking God. There's more and more and more in the best ways possible. And so, yeah, I mean, I can't speak for others, but I know that for me, I have to be here, and I need the spiritual solution. And that's why I need all of you, because we can live in it together. And then I can go out in the world and be somewhat normal to the rest of the world. But here I can be honest about my true self, which is that I am a desperately needy child of God. And with that, I pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Lisa C. from New Jersey. All right, Wajia, it's your turn, and then we'll take some more names. Go ahead, Wajia.
Good morning. This is Wajia, recovered in Maryland. And thank you for all doing service. Page 20, this tiny chapter, then we have a certain type of hard drinker. And so a certain type of hard drinker, I was not, but I am a professional dieter. Let's just say I was a professional dieter. And even dieting physically and mentally, I wasn't always there. And this chapter says it may cause him to die a few years before his time. Well, in my professional dieting, I know that I died many times, many, many times, but the solution was we'll just find another diet. That's what will work, another diet. And listening to some shares this morning, I remember once going to, I don't know what type of doctor, he could have been anything, but the point, I was supposed to be hypnotized. That's what I was going for, to be hypnotized against overeating. Let's just say it didn't work, and I went to Burger King. And that's what this disease will do. Ill health, this chapter talks about falling in love, change of environment. I was 24 years old and had my gallbladder removed, and because I was just so ill at that time. I just had a baby, and I didn't know that I was a compulsive overeater. I heard about OA, but I just thought that it was, I didn't know what it was about as a child. But coming into recovery today, I'm grateful that I'm no longer a professional dieter. I have an illness, and I can't medicate myself with this illness. I can't do anything with this illness except ask God to help me to get on these phone calls, to reach out to fellows. This says, this man can also stop or moderate, although he may find it difficult and troublesome. I don't want the trouble anymore. I gave up being bothered, being troubled, like, oh my God, now what? I call a sponsor. I make 3 phone calls a day. I sponsor people. A certain type of hard drinker, I don't want to be a certain type of hard eater anymore. I have a food plan. This is breakfast, this is lunch, this is dinner. I'm going to write it down because dieting, I just ate what I wanted to eat. I write my food down now. I commit it to someone. And if you're new here, and I'll close, if you're new here and you're not saying a word, we've all done the exact same thing. If it sounds like a lot, oh my God, write your food, make these phone calls, go to meetings. It's a lot. It's taking up all your time. Believe me, you'll get time when you do these things. Your day will be expanded. You'll enjoy your time so much more when this is what you have to do. Eat my food, eat my food, eat my food, and end my day. It's this compulsive overeating at its finest. So I'm glad that you are here. I'm grateful to be here. And I'm grateful that I don't have to think anymore, what is wrong with me? I have an illness. I'm a compulsive overeater. And I released a boatload of weight. But I'll say now, it wasn't about the weight. It was about the weight when I came in. But now it's not about the weight until it's not about the weight. With that, I will pass. And thank you for all those that are doing service.
All right. Perfect timing. Thank you, Wajia E. from Maryland. Okay, so we're on page 20, the 6th paragraph. Who else would like to share on what was read?
Lisa B. T.
Leia S.
Lisa B.
Anna S.
That's Lisa. Anna, okay.
Anna S.
Darian K.
I got you, Anna. Darian K. Yep. Anyone else? Robin? Roby, okay.
Yeah, Roby.
Roby L. 39. I think we could maybe take one more or not. Okay, here's what we've got. Leia S., Lisa B.T., Anna S., Darian K., Roby L. Go ahead, Leia. You're up.
My name is Leia S., and I'm in Brooklyn, New York. Recovered and so grateful. So reading this book is so important to me, and studying it. it's not only reading it. This is not a novel. This is not about someone named Bill or Dr. Silkworth who finally found something. This is about Leia. And truthfully, Leia doesn't want to know what kind of an eater you are or what kind of a person you are. And in step one, it says, I admitted I am powerless over food. Oh, my goodness, what does that entail? What kind of an eater I am? What kind of things? And that gets me really depressed. What are you doing over here? You're taking apart Leia. You're telling her she's no good. This is what she's doing. And this is how she's killing herself. And the truth of the matter is, I need to face what Leia is. I need to face, I cannot go out because of that snowstorm. It's just, there it is. It is. It's a fact. It's a fact that I have bulges. It's a fact that I can't walk so much. It's a fact that I can't bend down. Oh, my God. And what does that help me? We have a solution over here. We got a very simple solution, and we got so much support in this solution, in whatever it is that I am going through. That's why I have to face who I am. That's why I cannot have that cookie or that poppin' in my mouth. That is why, because I needed some discipline, some structure in my life, and it started with my food. And I couldn't go within any other area in my life if I didn't start it with the food. And this big book is telling me, and it's making me more and more excited to get to know Leia. And with that, I will pass.
Thank you so much, Leia S. from New York. Lisa B.T., you are up.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you very much. This is Lisa B.T., and I am in Ontario, Canada, and a very grateful compulsive overeater. Something happened this morning that seems to me to speak to this paragraph. I've been having trouble. There's something been going on with my phone service, and I was not able to access this meeting all of a sudden. Just one morning, I couldn't get on. And then that went on, and it went on, and it looked like it was going to be a rather kind of complicated thing, and maybe wasn't going to get fixed. And so in my mind, I just went, well, I guess I just can't get on that meeting anymore, and I love this meeting. And this morning, after my quiet time, I don't even know, you know, is it odd or is it God? I don't even know why. I just said to myself, well, let me just see. It's 7, you know, it was 7. And I thought, well, just let me try. And here I am. And I thought, if it were just left to me, I think what I realized about the, you know, listening to the paragraph and the hard drinking and so on, is that by myself, I am really very much an all or nothing thinker. I'm either eating everything that I can find, or I'm just going to have bread and water today. Like I would, like just the years that I seesawed between one or the other, there was no middle. And I think this morning with just this, let me just see, that was really spiritual. And I think that it's really for me, allowed me to kind of understand that for me, the solution is never going to be, well, just follow this and, you know, just abstain and all that. It's going to have to be spiritual. Passeth all understanding, it just is. So whatever the beautiful gift that I got this morning, which was 7 a.m. and let me just see, did not come from my seesaw of all or nothing thinking mind. It just was sort of an invitation, and I took it, and here I am, and I'm so unbelievably happy to be that it works again. So I'm going to pass with that, and thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Lisa B.T. from Canada. So glad you tried to get on. All right, Anna S., followed by Darian K. Please go ahead.
Hi, this is Anna S. from Kenosha, Wisconsin, and so grateful to be here this morning, and the reading caught my attention, and the shares, thank you so much. I'm a diabetic, and as well, 100-pounder, and, you know, it took me a long time to be able to pay attention in the program. I went through, 12, 14 sponges, I don't know, a lot. They all had the different ideas of, you know, got to... Some of them, they'd have a laundry list of things they had to do. Some of them had all this writing they wanted me to do, all these meetings. And it was, the point is, I couldn't stop eating. I was diabetic and in ketoacidosis, had organs removed because of diabetic neuropathy, was blind for 2 weeks from diabetic, from when the first time my sugar went below 300 for the first time. And... For some reason, before November 19th, 2024, I couldn't stick to the plan. And after, I can, as long as I make phone calls and go to meetings. It's real simple. As long as I make phone, I can't explain it, but as long as I make phone calls and go to meetings, I can stick to the piddly little diabetic food plan. I commit it to my sponsor every day by picture. I take a picture as I'm, but right before I eat my food. That's how I commit my food. And that works for me. And, you know, there was a lot of, I've never been good at following directions. And last week on Thursday, I did my fifth step. And it's my first time, it's my first program. And it was 8 hours. It was 8 hours of this beautiful, wonderful man who says, doesn't hold anything back. Just, it was intense. But I'm appreciative that somebody sat with me, even though I can't follow directions, and went through all that with me, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And on Friday, it was just like November 19th. But this time, all the things that bothered me on Wednesday and on Thursday, on Friday, they didn't bother me anymore. And on Thursday morning, my doctor had told me that I am technically no longer diabetic. So it's like in this program, I'm no longer diabetic, and I've lost 100 pounds. And all the things that bothered me don't bother me anymore. That's amazing. I'm just so lucky to be here. That is just so wonderful. And I make phone calls, and I do. I'm slowly moving towards doing a lot of the things that the original sponsors wanted me to do. It's just I couldn't do it all back then. It was all too much, you know. So I think sometimes we can get bogged down in the weeds. We can get bogged down on the weeds of supposed to do 4 ounces of this and three. No. One plate of food is so much better than eating an entire $5 pizza on the way home from work, you know, and then an ice cream. Just one plate. Don't get bogged down in the weeds on the details. Don't get bogged down in the weeds of, oh, I got to do X, Y, and Z, X, Y. Don't eat the food. Make phone calls. Go to meetings. And higher power got you. Higher power had me through all of this, even when everybody doubted that I was hopeless. Thank you so much. I'm grateful to be here.
Thank you so much. Anna S. from Wisconsin. Okay, Darian K., followed by Roby L.
Oh, good morning, Amy. This is Darian K. I'm in the Berkshires in Massachusetts. I'm recovered for today and very grateful to be on with you guys. Starting my morning with the beautiful shares and the amazing words of wisdom and cautionary tales. Wow, cautionary tales. You know, I thought to myself when I was hearing the reading that I never considered myself a heavy drinker, heavy eater because of my pride. My pride held me back from eating an entire whatever. But in my mind, I was eating the whole thing. I was finishing the whole thing. I was angry because I had to split it between two people or three people. And you bet it had to be even to the, you know, nth degree. And so in my mind, I was definitely that heavy eater. I just, the pride somehow held me back and I didn't want to look like a quote unquote fat pig. You know, today I know, like if I just ate with a reckless abandon and I, you know, didn't have that pride get in the way, oh, my God, I can't imagine the weight that would have been on me, the depression, the sadness, the everything would have been double. And I also have a precious daughter who I think doesn't want this program because she doesn't consider herself a heavy eater. She can stop, you know, but she's over 300 pounds. So, you know, the proof is in front of me and in front of her, but she hears the word overeater and she doesn't consider herself an overeater. So we sometimes, I people probably get caught up in those terms. And for me, I am so grateful I don't have to get caught up in trying to figure out exactly how I fit into a definition of whatever. I am a compulsive overeater. For me, I weigh and measure because I'm addicted to quantities as well as particular foods. And I have freedom today. I can drive to work right now just free. I don't have to think about where I'm going to go, what I'm going to eat. What should I eat? What should I not eat? I'm too fat. I can't fit into this and that. It's such a freedom to know that I belong. And I'm not trying to, like, prove myself that I don't belong, right? Or try to, like, figure out a way, a loophole. Like, no, that's not me. I'm not here. I don't belong here. So thank you. Thank you, God. I belong, and I'm happily coming. I'm happily here after almost 40 years. And thank you, God, for this program. And I pass.
Darren K. from Massachusetts. Okay, Roe v. L., you're going to take us out. Please go ahead.
Okay, this is Roe v. L. from Vermont. And I was debating whether to share, but I thought I had a unique angle that needed to be put out there, and I think somebody just shared it, which is awesome, and because that's what it's about, is a feeling of belonging. And I have a strong history of overeating and of restricting, and my restricting dominated, and it's so easy. It made it a challenge for me over the years in program when I would come to this paragraph to think, like, where do I belong, and which one am I, because I'm so good at moderating, right? Like, moderating was my thing. Problem was that moderating what I ate took up all of my energy and left no room for, it didn't leave room to become the person I knew I could be, I knew I was meant to be, that I now know my Creator intends for me to be. So yeah, I would think about what I needed to do each day to control my eating. I didn't have any weight to lose when I came into the program. I had a lot of pride to lose. So I don't think of, like, when we give our qualifications, I can't say, oh, I'm the real compulsive eater in the same sense I think that some can say it. I can say I am a real compulsive overeater. I am a real thing. I'm a real thing, and abstinence feels amazing on me, as is described by other real compulsive overeaters. And I guess maybe I'm thinking about the newcomer who, like me, when there's talk about whether we belong and how we are categorized, is prone to thinking that they don't belong. But I just love so many testimonies about what abstinence has done in our lives and how it's allowed us to become the people that we want to be. Others have said it so well today, so I will pass. Thank you.
Hello, you're unmuted.
Amy, we can't hear you.
Unmuted. Yep, I got it. Thank you. Thanks, everyone. I'd like to thank everyone who shared, and thank you to Team Tuesday for your service for February. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following the closing. The share ID for today, Tuesday, February 24th, 2026. That's today, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 23,233. That's 23233. We will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Ken W.H., will you please read A Vision for You?
I sure will. Excuse me, just to clear my throat, and I'll be all set. Page 164. Let me get there. Sorry. 2 seconds. Okay. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.